Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Pick and Roll podcast. Today we have a good one for you guys. Basically today what we have going on is our normal episode. This is going to be some unique stuff going on today. It's all scouting. It's all full game scouting. That's what we've been doing last week. That's what we're going to be doing this week as well. You know, as you guys know, last week we watched specifically only NBL games, but there's some European guys that played in some U18 games, U19 games that decided to tune in and watch because they're projected to be first round guys. That'll be really fun to break down. So basically we watched Spain versus Serbia, the U18, which is going to be a Nikola Topic versus Andy Mara. We watched France versus USA, the U19 game, which is Alexander Sarr, Zachary Rocher, Melvin Ahinsia, and then we watched the only NBL game we watched this week was the Cairns Terrapins versus the Illahar Hawks, and then we watched Bobby Clintman that we talked about last week and AJ Johnson in that game. So it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of really great content for you guys, and I'm really excited to keep on talking about these guys. So do you have anything you want to say before we kick it to these breakdowns, Chris?
No, just let's go. Let's hit.
Okay, sounds good. So let's just go ahead and take it game by game. So the first game is going to be, let's start with the first man on the list, Nikola Topic. Nikola Topic is a 6'6 point guard from Serbia. When I think about Nikola Topic, I think hype. I mean, this guy is legitimately in a lot of mock drafts, borderline lottery or in the lottery, depending on who's posting it. But my take on him was that I was amazed at how much I disliked his game, because, you know, as somebody that was in love with Nikola Jovic coming out, I thought, oh yes, the Serbia player, let's get it. I'm going to be excited to watch him play because I, you know, thought he was going to be interesting. So basically Nikola Topic did score a lot of points. He probably had like 24, 25, 26. But there's a few issues. The issues are I'm extremely worried about his burst and vertical athleticism. I mean, it's really, really slow. He's like just barely fast enough and strong enough to get to the rim at these levels. And the sad thing about his game is, yeah, he does finish at the rim well, but that's like 90% of his scoring. It's the bag isn't there outside of that. There's no like perimeter shot creation for himself. There's not an extremely fluid mid-range pull-up jump shot. There's no mid-range game. There's no, oh, I'm 6'6", I'm going to post smaller guards. There's nothing there. It is just finishing at the rim and shooting open threes. There is nothing in between. There's no shot creation there. You know what I mean? And the tough thing is when you're reliant on scoring on the rim at this level and you're not overly athletic, it's going to be tough for you to do it a lot in the NBL. NBA, and I really don't really see any shot creation for himself. And the tough thing about Nikola Topic is he's not going to be better than one of the best players on every team's got world-class ball handlers and world-class pick and roll decision makers where we have Jalen Green on our team. We have Fred VanVleet on our team. It's going to be tough for him to get the volume of pick and rolls that he gets in Serbia because he's getting 90% of them. But in the NBA, he's going to probably get like 20 and 10%. And the tough thing about his lack of burst and athletic gifts is this guy can't get past anybody without a screen. Okay, this is this guy just, if he has to, if he gets past the ball on the wing and you say, okay, Nikola Topic, go beat Grant Williams off the dribble and go score at the rim. He couldn't do it. He just can't do it. There is no burst there. There's no athletic gifts there. It's a real issue because what is he going to do when he doesn't have the ball in his hands? He's not going to do much. He's also defensively somebody you can attack. He's pretty slow. He's easy to attack. You know what I mean? It's just so, like, I was not expecting, you know, such a absent back. It's just volume and his good finishing for the level that has led to the efficiency in the good numbers. He has a good stat sheet. I mean, the guy will finish games with 26 a game, 25 in a game, 24 in a game, and he'll look good on the stat sheet, but in the eye test, he's not, nothing's too special. I'm thinking early second round draft pick at this moment in time, best case scenario, backup point guard in the NBA. That's my take so far, Nikola Topic. So, Chris, what's your take on Nikola Topic?
First things first, I believe we watched the 18-year-olds, correct? That was he played with 18-year-olds?
Yes. Yes.
So we got to give this man a little bit of grace. I understand you. I mean, the other guy who played, he gets no grace. You know what I mean? We're going to get to him later. But this guy, we're going to give him some grace because Nikola Jokic, and I'm sorry, before we get go forward, is mm-hmm. Topic?
Topic, yeah. Topic. It's Nikola Topic. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. So it's yeah, we're not going to like really, really crap on him that much. Well, I'm not in not yet, because he's only 18. I'm gonna give him some grace. And okay. Then also want to say, like, because like Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic, those are very slow, methodical players, and that slow kind of play is really common in the European among like some of their good players. Like we weren't like completely blown away, you know what I mean? But we were blown away by Luka Doncic's scoring ability, his passing ability, his vision, you know what I mean? We've seen some things like that, but he was also very slow. You know what I mean? He's also kind of a bulkier build. Jokic is an extreme. He's not running up the court and beating anybody down the court. He's very slow, methodical, gets to the spots and scores. That's kind of what Topic does. He does that very well. You mentioned it earlier that he's a rim runner, basically, is that, you know, all of his buckets are, you know, is just his finishing ability at the rim, but it's nothing too special. But I think that if we're going to give him a little bit of grace because he's only 18 and that bag can be developed, he still has time. It's not like he's going to be drafted this year. You know, it's not like he's going to be, you know, like hopefully not. Maybe they'll give him another year in the NBA to kind of develop a little bit because they'll see the things that you were talking about. You know what I mean? And give him just a little bit more grace and not to try to throw him into a position right now. If he's thrown into a position right now, I think that he would fail. I think that he would become like, I mean, being drafted isn't failing, but I feel like he would bust out of the league very soon because he doesn't have many of the gifts needed to succeed in the league. Mm-hmm. At this point, I mean, you can run the rim all you want to, but if you got 7 foot tall Anthony Davis down there, you're not getting anywhere if you don't have anything else outside that. If you can't stop on a dime and pull up and hit a jumper, or you can't shoot, you know, shot create for yourself or your team behind the arc. I'm not saying that he can't, because I did see a couple cool passes that I was like, wow, you know, he does have a little bit of vision there. I do think
definitely.
Very common in those European leagues as well. But like I said, I'm just going to give him a little bit of grace. I would say that I don't completely disagree, but I'm not going to put him at his current, where he is currently, because I don't want to see him bust out the league. I would say that he should stay in the NBL at least one or two more years and try to go out when he has a deeper bag. Maybe he should go undrafted and then kind of like go to like one of those teams like the Heat or something like that.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to go into the draft and not really being able to showcase. I know that we might see this guy again later on down the line. Yeah. But as of right now, I would prefer for him to go undrafted.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is, yeah. I agree with you. And yeah, we will be watching more games of him and another player that I can't think of right now off the top of my head. They're both playing in KK Basket in Serbia that we found some YouTube full games of. So they'll be hearing that next week. So you'll see more of Nikola Topic. Congratulations. All right. You ready to move it on to the next guy in the game that we both love so much?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, the other guy that played for Spain in the game was Andy Mara. He's a guy that's supposed to be a top 10 draft pick. He's going to be playing for UCLA, so it's not like we're going to have to be hunting for a bunch of international games there after this. So basically, Andy Marr is a 7'3" center from Spain. Played against Nikola Topic in that game. He's somebody that I think is extremely overrated. This guy is... I've never seen an 18-year-old move that slow. Like, it was just impressive how slow and decrepit he looks. I wrote down, looks like a 42-year-old Kareem. Like, when people are running up and down the court, it takes him 8 seconds to get from one end of the rim to go post up. Okay. It's a lazy. It's just so gosh darn lazy. I've never seen a 7'3" center get boxed out and outworked so much that he's Andy Morrow's on the sideline, behind his rim, getting pushed off at the out of bounds line. Never seen that. Get pushed out, boxed out so much, he gets pushed out basically underneath the rim, like out of bounds, like you're about to throw in a pass. Like, it was insane. Like, he could have had 5 to 6 more rebounds if he was somebody that put in some effort to try to get some balls. It's just abysmal how slow and lack and lazy and lackadaisical he just, you know, moves. He doesn't have anywhere close to good enough of a post game to post in the NBA. There's like 8 to 12 dudes, man, that post in the NBA. Alperen Sengun's of the world, Jonas Valanciunas is of the world, right? Kat, Nikola Vucevic, right? There's some guys that do post in the NBA, right? It does happen, especially, you know what I mean? But this guy doesn't have the skill, the footwork, the want to at all to do that in the NBA. He's not good enough. He is not good enough to be efficient like that, like the other guys are. He's not going to do it in the NBA. I'd be great at it in the NBA. It was crazy, too, because it was all I saw was a hook shot. Like, no fadeaways, no, you know, in the mid post, no nothing. Like, it's just crazy. No spin moves. No, it's just it's high school level post skill. No, middle school level post skill, where all you know is a hook shot. Like, I learned a hook shot in middle school. Like, that's it. That's it. It's amazing how raw he is. He can't switch defensively. Dear goodness. Steph Curry will drop 40 if a center like this plays him. It's abysmal how bad he moves us on the perimeter and things of that nature. But like a guy like this, you would think in theory would be able to defend the rim. He's 7'3". Well, no, because he's so lazy, he lets everybody else live at the rim. It's like, you please go finish at the rim. He's like a waiter at a restaurant. Just please, sir. The customer's always right. Go get my rim. He doesn't care about defending it at all. He doesn't have the energy. He doesn't have the want to. He doesn't really seem like he understands what he's doing. There's a lack of want and fire in this guy. This guy at 7'3" playing against that level of competition should have looked so much more dominant, right? Especially as a top 10 pick. Where are people getting this from? He's a pretty okay passer, but it's not like his passing's so great that it's going to make up for his lack of, I can't post, I can't shoot. Oh, and yeah, this guy can't shoot outside of 2 feet outside of the rim. He looks like not a shooter at all. Can't shoot a mid-range shot, can't shoot a... Dear goodness, don't even talk to me about a three-point shot. He just doesn't look like he cares much about the game of basketball. It's just body language is all negative. And you know what I mean? He is just... people are comparing him to Pau Gasol. What are these comparisons coming from? Pau Gasol? Have we seen Pau Gasol in the post? Have we seen Pau Gasol's butter mid-range shot? I guess we completely forget about the Hall of Famer known as Pau Gasol, because this is ridiculous. This needs to stop. This guy, in my mock, in my grade right now, I have early second round draft pick because people take shots on centers in the like second round and say, okay, it's a boomer bust guy. Now, I personally wouldn't, because to be a guy with a high upside, he has to work, right? He has to have the work ethic. And he doesn't play like he loves the game of basketball. He plays like he's been told his whole life that he's better than everybody else. And he has a lazy ass skill set. It's just, I can't help but saying it. He would drive me insane if I was his coach. Insane. I'd sit him. You're 7'3", and you're giving up rebounds to this 6'11", thin piece of cardboard, this guy who's super thin, that's 18. Okay, yeah, you're sitting on the bench. I don't even know what we're talking about here. Oh my goodness, he would make me so angry. So that's my take on Andy Mara. What's your take on him?
So I believe we got spoiled with like players like Wimby, you know, yeah. Chet Holmgren to an extent, Alexander Sarr. We got really, really, really spoiled. Giannis. Really, really, really spoiled Anthony Davis, because we have these tall people in the league, you know what I mean, and outside of the league who are like, they show us so much that when we see something that doesn't quite add up to that, we immediately become critical of it, right? Not saying that we're critical in the wrong sense, but we're more critical of it because we've seen what players with height should be able to do and have been able to do, you know, especially at the highest level, which would be the NBA. Now, with that being said, Andy Mara is one of those guys, absolutely, that was like probably in high, who probably like got really, really tall in middle school, and everybody was like, oh, he's just like the best, because all he has to do is just drop the basket in the ball. He's taller than ball in the basket, because he's taller than everybody, and he still carries that kind of mentality with him now, because he's like, oh, I'm just super tall, and like I really don't have to do too much, because I'm just able to just always drop the ball in the basket, because I'm tall, taller than everybody. Mm-hmm. But now when you're playing against players who have more of a skill set, you know, players with more of their bag, with more physicality, more want to, more determination, more dog in them than what you have always had, then you run into problems. And that's what we've seen during this game. I mean, I really don't need to watch anymore other than this game to know exactly what kind of player this is going to be. This is not going to be a very good basketball player. If he gets drafted, it'll be strictly off of his height. He is very slow. He doesn't have any moves. He doesn't have a box full of moves. Not saying that Giannis has a box full of moves, but Giannis is athletic. This guy isn't athletic. He's very slow. He doesn't have a want to. He don't have no dog in him. No dog whatsoever. You know what I mean? He don't have a mid-range shot. He can't do anything else. I mean, he's a lackadaisical defender, and all defending takes is effort. That's all it really takes, is a want to defend. So with that being said, I would give this guy an inch of grace. Just because he's been that guy, I feel like he's been that superstar for so long, and is kind of like, you know, like not really on the superstar level, but I feel like because of like how tall he was, he's always been like that kind of guy who like always been taller, and then he, you know, he felt like he was better because he was taller. That's what people used to tell him. I give him just an inch of grace. I would say this is another guy I would expect to not go drafted, right? To not draft and to improve. Mm-hmm. Not draft, improve. Because just because you get to the NBA doesn't mean anything. You don't want, because you can bust out. Look at Darko Milicic. these players. True. This is a player of European descent. You know, look at Adam Morrison. He was the greatest college basketball player almost ever, he busted out of the NBA. Anthony Bennett busted out of the NBA. Was supposed to be the next coming of like some of. Well, I mean, I forgot who he was supposed to be next coming of, but he busted out of the NBA. So many busts. Yeah. And I'm just saying, just give it more time. If he's going to UCLA, perfect. Maybe that coach there, they have a great program.
You ready to kick us to the next game?
They can whip him into shape. At UCLA, let's go.
All right. Sounds good. We're going to go ahead and kick it to the next game. The next game was France versus USA, the U19 game. So the first man up in that list is going to be Alexander Sarr. Alexander Sarr is somebody we talked about last week as well. So this is our second full game. So, you know, I definitely feel like Alexander Sarr played less aggressive scoring-wise. There wasn't a ton of tape of him being aggressive scoring-wise. He was still really good at defending the rim. He was still really good at rebounding. He was still really being super freaky and switchable. You know what I mean? Shooting that three-point shot. I definitely feel like something that was gained from this game outside of what we've seen so far is his passing got cemented more as a playmaker. You saw him make a lot more passes than you did the NBL so far that we've seen. He's just still so freaky. He's still super smooth. He's still got a good handle. He's still got good foot speed. He's still got all this stuff that we loved about him. And I personally still have him as my number one guy. But, you know, there wasn't a ton of him being aggressive and scoring. So there's not a lot to talk about. But, yeah, he still looked pretty freaky in this game. So what do you think about Alexar?
Oh, yeah, Alexar. Yeah, I'm still pretty much on the same train where I was like, I didn't see it a lot, but I've seen enough from last game. I saw a lot more. But one thing I will touch on is that I was able to truly, truly see and pinpoint his defensive capabilities. Like, he was like, defensively, I think he had like some early blocks in the game, which I was like, okay, all right, this guy can truly be a shot blocker. I didn't see he wasn't very aggressive offensively, but I did see some passing, some flashes of passing. You know, we've already talked about this before, but it's really what I really was wanted to like, what I really seen, and I was like, wow, was just his defensive capabilities. I was like, now I'm starting to truly, truly see, you know, that Bam Adebayo kind of comparison, like truly, truly like pin it down because I'm able to see it now. Bam. What's the other what is the guy who used to
defensively? My comp was Claxton.
Claxton does like the same thing because he's like defensive guard. I mean, defensive like center forward.
Brooklyn.
Yeah. Claxton.
Yeah. Sounds good. You ready to kick it to the next guy?
Let's go.
Next man up in this U18 game is Zachary Richer. This is a 6'8" small forward from France. We saw him play in one full game against Spain. He has beautiful jump shot form. You see his three-point shot, and it looks beautiful, well-crafted, and it's a little quicker jump shot. Like, he's really just got pretty form, and it looks like he's a shooter. He understands how to move off ball and, you know, move to open spaces off ball as well to allow teammates that have the ball on the other end of the court to attack the rim or do whatever play they're running most efficiently. He's an above average NBA defender. He definitely moves pretty well, not like overly gifted, but there's some pretty good movement there. You know, the only thing that I wish I would have seen more is driving to the rim. It doesn't really look like he has a super reliable handle, and his ability to get to the rim is a question mark, and that's important because he's going to need to prove that he can attack closeouts in the in his tape, just because he's going to be a 3D guy and you need to be able to attack closeouts in the NBA. So right now I have him at the 22 to 26 range because the 3-point shot is amazing, but the question about the ability to attack the rim is definitely a question mark, and him not being a world-class defender just can't put him much higher because there's just no shot creation outside of his standstill 3-point shooting. So that's my take on Zachary Richer, 6'8" from France. So what's your take, Chris?
Oh, I just have one question because I'm not sure. I know this is the France national. This was the France national team, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so what team does he play for? Is he in the NBL or is he like?
Oh no, he is playing. He's playing overseas in the FIBA World Championships right now. Okay, 1 second. I have all of them pinned. All these guys from France are playing overseas.
Other reason I asked is because, like, I want to see more. So I was like, are we going to be able to? Is some guy we going to get to look at again?
He's playing on J.L. Berg Basket in the France Pro A League right now. But he's right now they're playing FIBA Bowl, so there's a chance we might be able to see him again.
Okay. Well, yeah. I will talk about, he's one of those guys that's like going to be a great 3-and-D, but he just has like that one, you know, he's just, you haven't been able to see him truly like attack the closeout. So that's something that's going to be a worry for him. But I do see that he is going to be like, that's the kind of player that he's going to be molded out to be. He's going to be the type of guy who can really knock down those shots. He might even get like an escape dribble and be able to just knock down. But the biggest problem he's going to have is going to be with his handle, and I can always be worked on, Mm-hmm. It can be worked on even with the coaches. If he, you know, if he gets drafted, it can get worked on with the coaches there. It can be worked on with the coaches, you know, in FBL. Is that what it's called?
The France Basketball League, yeah, basically. He plays on the JBL on that team.
Oh, the JBL.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. JBL Berg.
JBL Berg. Okay, so yeah. Like I said, I do love his jumper. I think that, it's just going to be just a couple things that he needs to work on. But I can see, maybe a late first-round pick to an early second-round pick. That's normally where they fall at.
Yeah. Agreed. All right, you ready to kick it to the next guy?
Let's go.
Next man up is Melvin Agencia. He's 6'7" from France. Played in the same game as the rest of these guys. You know what I mean? He is really, really strong and athletic. He can definitely get to the rim really easily. What I really do like about his game is he's also a very good defender. He's a really good on ball. He does a really good job in those situations. And I definitely feel like there is some flashes of shot creation to buy into. You know what I mean? You did see some step back threes and things of that nature. But it just looks very raw in the footwork and how it looks when he shoots it. It doesn't look super polished. It just looks like something that's kind of growing in his game. So it's going to be a really interesting question mark to see if he's going to be able to do that more consistently. Because then maybe he'll change up his my views on him, but he's a really tough guy to scout because he's a really tough guy to get put your finger on because his game is not very fluid in the skill side, but he's very fluid athletically, defensively, and with his physical body. So I have a late first round grade on him as well, 26-30. I think he's definitely somebody that you could take a chance on and see how he develops late in the first round. So that's my take on Melvin Agencia.
Yeah, I would give like a late first round as well. I would say more like he's not as of a polished player as I would like him to be to go into the draft. You know, but he does have some of the skills. It's just that he just needs to really pin down what he truly wants to be as a player. If he's going to be more, you know, because he has athletic gifts, so you will be able to see him like, you know, defend and do things like that athletically, but you just want to see more of his offensive capabilities and kind of try to pin that down and see if like he could be a really good ball handler. Like he's kind of floating around in like that, like in a limbo kind of, cause he hasn't truly pinned down any particular skill. That's why that's why I would have him late, is because I can't really like pinpoint like, okay, he's going to be great at this, but not so great at this. Like he's kind of like in limbo right now for me.
Yeah.
So I would say late first round would be great. Would be a great spot for him.
Okay. Sounds good. Or did you get to the next guy?
Let's go.
All right. Next game up is the only NBL game we watch. It's going to be Bobby Clinton versus AJ Johnson. So this is the second game we've seen both of those guys. So we'll talk about Bobby Clinton first. You know, 6'10" power forward from the NBL. This is the second game we've watched of him. He still guards the perimeter really well. He definitely still shows flashes of that. Last game, in his first game, he showed more flashes of defending the rim. But I would definitely say this game, he was more tentative defending the rim. He definitely seemed like he wasn't as forceful in understanding that he's 6'10 in this game. It was very odd to watch. There's moments in time where he's underneath the rim and there's somebody going in driving to him. It's 6'10. You can probably have a chance of blocking that shot or putting a really good contest on the shot. There's no reason to take a charge, right? There's no reason to kind of not really be committed to defending that rim at the height of 6'10 in the rare situations that he is. I saw less cutting than I did in the first game as well. I still think that he can definitely still be a very good role player, but I did see issues where, again, he wasn't playing like he was 6'10 offensively as well, because he was very passive attacking the rim. And it led to multiple turnovers where he's about to be at the rim, about to have his chance to finish, but he passes out of it and kind of panics, and it leads to a turnover. And, you know, again, he's 6'10 and a very good athlete and very strong. There shouldn't be any issues finishing at the rim in theory, right? So he looked weird this game. It wasn't as high level as it was the first game, in my personal opinion. So I have him a little lower. I have him at the 15 to 20 range. I mean, he's still going to be a nice 3-and-D power forward, but you're not as sold as you used to be on his ability to attack closeouts and be a secondary rim defender, because this guy doesn't realize that he's 6'10", really strong, and really athletic. Then, you know, what's the point of having those gifts? So right now, that's where I have Bobby Clement. It was an odd game. So what do you think about him?
Oh, yeah, I agree there, because he looked more of the, I mean, like, yeah, the first game was like we were kind of high on him, but I will say that he still looked pretty pedestrian, you know what I mean? Wasn't really cutting as much. He kind of was just watching the ball a lot. He wasn't as active defensively, you know what I mean? I wasn't seeing anything. Like, I was like, okay, yeah, he can be a consistent defender game per game per game. Wasn't seeing anything like that. And then on top of that, it just seemed like he was being Bobby Clinton. I mean, like, we kind of knew what he was. You said it before, was that he doesn't know. You know, I mean, like, last time we talked about him, he's like, he's either going to shoot, he's going to defend. And that's literally all he's going to do. He's not really going to do too much. I was saying earlier that I wanted to see him develop a post game of some sort. And it's just never going to happen. I'm saying that it's never going to happen. He's never going to get that far. And that's kind of what was shown during this game, was just that he can be pretty consistently inconsistent. And he's really stuck in, like, okay, I'll just do this and be good at this, but I'm not going to do anything else. And it's like, to be 6'10", to have that kind of build where you kind of like have a bigger frame like that and not really use it is just a waste of body and height.
Yeah, true.
It's truly a waste of body and height. So I would go lower. I would say maybe like 21 to 24.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit lower than that, maybe like 25-30, just because, like, I would have to see maybe just one more game to truly pin him down, truly. Because, I mean, maybe he can be game by game, but you can't go game by game. Everybody has an off night, but you can't. But if I see this again, then I'm going to be like, okay, he's going to be like a late first round, early second round pick, if makes that, sense. Because he's not going to really show up consistently night by night. And that's what you need a role player to do. You need a role player who's going to show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you ready to kick it to the last guy on the list?
Let's go.
All right, last man up is AJ Johnson, 6'5 point guard. He's playing for the Illawarra Hawks. This is the second game we watched of him. Sadly, there's just not enough tape to really give a takeaway from this game. You know, still the same thing as last time, a good defender, athletic with the ball in his hands. You're still waiting to see if he can prove that he can be a good enough passer to even play the point guard position. And it's tough. You know what I mean? He probably should have went to a different team because it seems like the Illawarra Hawks have a lot of really great older guards on their team that he just cannot get touches from. So, that's my take on AJ Johnson. What do you think about AJ Johnson?
Yeah, I disagree. Like, yeah, we couldn't see enough. Can't see anything to truly, like, be like, oh, he's a great passer. He could be a good point guard in the NBA because we haven't seen anything. He plays like, he averages like 7 minutes, I think, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, when he's on the court, I mean, you're like, okay, cool. And then, like, next thing you know, he's off the court and you're like, well, where did he go?
Yeah. And they got guys that are really good scorers and passers there that are like at our position. So it's just hard for him to see him in the ball and with his ball in his hands. I mean, I've probably seen like one or two pick and rolls at most right now.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to figure out, like, is it because, like, they are older, or is there something that we're not seeing that the coach is seeing, and that's why he's not getting his opportunities?
Yeah, I think it's because of the talent that's on the team at the guard position. Okay. I mean, that one guy on that team had, like, a 30 ball this game in the NBL.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy that had the game winner, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, is there anything else you want to say?
No.
Okay, guys, well, this is going to be the end of the Pick and Roll podcast. So basically, next week we have all of our watching planned out, so I'll give you guys a little intro, a little teaser of what's going on next week. Next week we're going to be watching Tijuana, man, that's a tough name to say, Saloon 6'9". He's also from France, but he played on the U18 team, not the U19 team. He's a projected lottery pick, 6'9". We're also going to be watching Nolan Traore, again, French guy. don't expect me to get these names right. 6'4 point guard. He's supposed to be like a borderline second round draft pick. And then we got the Perth versus the 36ers, which basically going to watch Sar play against Trenton Flowers. And then we're going to also watch Nikola Topic and Nikola Drusic play in the ABA league. And that's going to be really fun to watch. And we have a lot of really good games next week, man. So, and we also have AJ Johnson and Labrek Olbrick from the Illahara Hawks, who's moving up in the late second round draft picks. So we're going to be watching a lot of games next week and going to be giving you really good breakdowns.
You ready?
Yeah. Also, congratulations. College basketball starts on the 6th. This is the first, we're recording this on 11-1. So in 5 days, college basketball starts. We're going to be heading into college basketball season. The G League starts on the 10th. So I'm going to be giving you some different viewpoints on the scouting pretty soon. We're going to be scouting college basketball quickly here. So you have anything else you want to say, Chris? Okay, sounds good. Well, I'm Jason Collins. And we're the Pick and Roll Podcast. Peace out.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsinis.
Kyler Tsinis. I'm Kyler Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.